A new day. This is a new day. Its smooth perfection stretches towards its end. I will make footprints and pathways, stories and memories to color its emptiness. I will seize this day and make it explode into colorful stars that will burn bright and light my way to tomorrow. This is a new day. I will make it a new yesterday where my remembered self can rest without regret.
So, exercising creativity as a spiritual practice. That's the topic I selected for today. So here's a question for you. What practice do you do repeatedly in your life that connects you with reality and at the same time lifts you out of potential self-pity or despair? I don't know about you, but today, 2 days after the inauguration of Donald J. Trump, I need such a practice. I hope there are Unitarian Universalists who are supporters of Donald J. Trump. But I haven't met any yet. When I say I hope there are, I mean I'd like to have a rational discussion with someone who's in touch with the realities of the world today and who supports the current president. I take the idea of ideological diversity in our congregation seriously. On this topic of spiritual practice, the inauguration of President Trump opens up the question of what exactly is a spiritual practice. If one devotes one's time to counting their money and celebrating the sense of achievement that brings, could that be a spiritual practice? Is setting goals and winning, always winning, regardless of the tactics and the human cost, could that be a spiritual practice? It's cultivation of the individual ego. A spiritual practice. Well, I'll try to define what I mean by spiritual practice by looking at the connections between religion and spirituality. Ravi Ravendra, the professor emeritus at Dalhousie, a professor, interestingly, in religion, international development, and physics, has said, "Spirituality and religion are related much like love and marriage. They can flourish together, or they can flourish separately." But he holds out little hope that spirituality can flourish in traditional religious organizations. The great religions are becoming like loveless marriages. He writes, "At their core, religions often carry whispers of the true spiritual connections, but these delicate sounds are drowned out by the worldly din. Their adherents hang on to the words, to the bones, to the garments, to the footprints, the other fossils, reminiscent of a spiritual struggle and triumph. Religions are rooted in the search for truth, but they settle for security and comfortable patterns. Dead routines of litanies, rosaries, genuflections, benedictions, prayer wheels, and to which I add chalice lighting. Empty spiritual practice is like hoping to paint a Rembrandt by numbers. Such practices may be of assistance and use in one's own search, but one has to be constantly on guard. Symbols can and do easily shroud and then replace the very reality they are supposed to indicate. The finger that points to the moon can hide it if it's held too close to the eye." Here ends the quote. Unitarian Universalists enjoy our church services, but sometimes it feels like we've given up on them as spiritual practices. This is a criticism that I've heard about our Sunday services, that we don't go deep enough for some people, that people are not moved or connected to something that's greater than themselves. I have not given up on this quest to improve the spiritual content of our services, but I confess that I struggle with the challenge of finding the spiritual core of a theologically diverse group. more meaningful for me to think of our Sunday services as a place where we connect with one another and we connect with ideas and we take those away and we weave our own private spirituality. As traditional dogmas and creeds fade as a guideline, Unitarian Universalists offer another view that respects the past while trusting the dawning future more. André Comte-Sponville urges a sense of fidelity. We must remember the great truths of selfless love at the core of religion as we create new social structures that carry them forward. He quotes an African proverb that says, "If you don't know where you're going, it's very important to remember where you came from." Spiritual practices are those things that provide a personal structure that we need to be grounded in our own sense of where we have come from. To illustrate that point, he tells an old Jewish story. Two rabbis are having dinner together. They're close friends, and they can tell each other anything. All night long, they discuss the existence of God. And eventually, they come to the conclusion that God does not exist. And at last, they go off to bed. Next morning, one of the rabbis gets up and he looks for his friend all over the house and he can't find him. He goes looking for him outside and he finds him in the garden, absorbed in his ritual of morning prayers. Surprised, he says, "What are you doing?" And the praying rabbi responds, "You can see for yourself. I'm saying my ritual morning prayers." That's just what surprises me. We talked halfway through the night and decided that God did not exist. And here you are saying your ritual morning prayers. The other rabbi replies quite simply, "What does God have to do with it?" I'm going to tell that story to my rabbi friend. Because I want confirmation. I really have read, in preparing this sermon, several speakers saying that God is not central to the Jewish religion. What's central to the Jewish religion is faith and fidelity to their traditions. That's what's central. Their spiritual practices. So what makes a repeated practice a spiritual practice then? Certainly it's not belief in God. Here are my criteria for spiritual practices. First, spiritual practices are those things we do to give our lives meaning beyond satisfying our own ego needs. Second, spiritual practices require real effort. Rabbi Ravindra has said, "In spiritual matters, one sure sign of counterfeit teaching is that it promises a great deal for very little effort on the aspirant's part. No genuine spiritual path is easy or comforting or ego-advancing." Third, spiritual practices are about connection. Be that connection to the world in which we live, connection to another human being, connection to our own emotions, or connections to a higher power. Connecting in private meditation with the depth of your consciousness is as much a spiritual practice as is participating in a public demonstration for a social justice cause. Spiritual practices are mindful. They're undertaken with deliberation and thought. One definition that I've read of spiritual practices is that they reflect a thoughtful love of life. Fifth, spiritual practices are transformational. They are undertaken to bring about a change in the quality of a person's actions and their relationships that integrates all the aspects of what it means to be a human being. And finally, spiritual practices are ethical. That is, truthful, honest, and above all, fair to everyone involved. Oops, one more. Finally, spiritual practices are undertaken from a place of joy. Although they require work and effort and sometimes pain, they are undertaken with a profound sense of joy and a sense of gratitude for the life we live. These criteria provide clues as to why one might want to take seriously your spiritual practices. Since by definition they require real effort, you have to see reward for that effort. It's the sense of connection with something bigger than yourself, connection with the universe and your role in it, that is essential to giving meaning to life. Human beings crave meaning in our lives, and it could be said that it's our spiritual practices alone that give life meaning, without sacrificing others in the process. So here I go again, pardon me, my obsession with Donald Trump may be showing. I want to say Genghis Khan probably felt that his life had meaning, but that meaning was won at the expense of others. A mild understatement, I think, in the case of Genghis Khan. Spiritual practices are a way of effecting meaningful, positive change in your life. If a life has meaning, it's surely related to our aspirational growth, to the continuous effort to realize our potential in the world. And spiritual practice can be an essential part of that transformation. Okay, so this sermon was to be about creativity and spiritual practice. The definition I've given you leaves a lot of room for creativity. I refer you to the cover of the Order of Service today, which organizes a number of contemplative practices that could help to organize our thinking around spiritual practices. There's a lot there to choose from journaling and sitting meditation, to bearing witness at public rallies, to sweat lodges, to deep listening. As I work towards my conclusion, I return regrettably to Donald Trump again. Richard Eyre, in his book Spiritual Serendipity, says, "The problems we face today are too diverse to have a single answer, unless that answer is an attitude. An attitude that can give guidance to life. An attitude that can turn adversity to advantage. Impatience to insight. Competition to charity. And boredom into beauty." I think the most profound spiritual practice that we can undertake as individuals is to cultivate an optimistic attitude that encourages us to keep our minds and our hearts open to the beauty of the universe and the goodness that exists in all people. Richard Eyre calls this attitude spiritual serendipity. To shift away from attitudes of control and manipulation and blind willfulness to an attitude of awareness and an attitude of being guided by what we see around us. It's hard work because it requires that we stop blaming circumstance for our problems, and it requires us to look for opportunities in our present circumstances and then to take a risk in exploring that opportunity. Living life this way requires optimism. It requires patience. It requires careful discernment. It requires cultivating a sense of gratitude for what we have rather than self-pity for what we don't have. It requires that we respond to that still, small voice that tells us what we should be doing and encourages us to take a risk. Optimism, patience, discernment, gratitude, lack of self-pity. All easy to contemplate if you've been fortunate in life and live with a sense of financial and personal security and good health. But how do we reconcile these optimistic ideals with reality when we are living without financial or personal security or good health? This is when we need to be creative in our spiritual practices. Viktor Frankl says, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstance, but only by lack of meaning and purpose." This is precisely what we need when we need to feel connected, when we need to cultivate friendships, when we need to believe that our lives have meaning despite our present circumstances. So if you want to be creative with your spiritual practices, I'll give you some recommendations. I recommend writing a sermon once a week. It's a spiritual practice. I also, from personal experience, recommend running, if you're physically able to do that. And I recommend fasting. I've recently just discovered the joy of fasting. Once a week. Once a week, once a day. One day per week. Here's another spiritual practice that can only be done annually, but if you've ever had a chance to attend a General Assembly, the meeting of the Unitarian Universalist Association in the United States, you'll know what I mean. I would encourage you to go for it if you ever can. For me, there's nothing like attending a worship service with 3,000 plus UUs to raise your spirits. And this year, the GA is in New Orleans. It happens to be June 22nd to the 25th. So this is a little plug for it. But the most profound spiritual practice is to work at building bridges across barriers that create enemies and separate us one from another. And yes, this includes bridges with those who would support Donald Trump and those who admire him. I cannot be reconciled with Donald Trump. Trump is a global phenomenon beyond my reach. My job in spiritual practice is to be reconciled with my neighbor through one-to-one personal contact, personal interaction. I believe that we can all cultivate healthy, sustaining spiritual practices regardless of our circumstance. And this is where religious community and true friendship become crucial. It's not easy, but it's certainly better than the alternative. May you find space in your life for the transformative spiritual practice and the supportive friendship and community that make it possible. May it be so, and amen.